I'm Darcy Borio, and when I'm not practicing karate with my son or co-hosting my enterprise software podcast, I'm listening to John Garrett on the Green Apple Podcast.
Welcome to episode 140 of the Green Apple Podcast. This is John Garrett, and each Wednesday I interview a professional who, just like me, is known for a hobby or a passion or an interest outside of work, making them stand out like a green apple in a pretty boring red apple world. And to put it another way, it's encouraging people to find their and, as in my guest Darcy Borio is a consultant and does karate with her son. And when I first met Darcy and heard that, I knew she had to be a guest on the show. Because it's our hobbies and our passions and these interests that can make you better at your job, but only if you let them. And I've got a quick favor to ask. If you like the show and are listening on iTunes or your favorite Android app, please don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the future episodes. Because I love sharing such interesting stories each and every Wednesday. And this week is no different with my guest Darcy Borio. She's the president of DAB Partners and the co-host of the Enterprise Software Podcast. And I know you're so very, very busy, but thanks so much, Darcy, for being with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, yeah. It was so great meeting you at the ITA conference in Nashville just about a month ago. And it was so fun talking with you there. And now we're talking here. So it's so fantastic.
Here we are.
I'm excited. So, yeah, I gave everyone a little bit of the introduction, what you do, but maybe in your own words. What you're up to now professionally and a little bit of how you got there.
Sure. I started my business, DAB Partners. It's almost exactly a year ago. In June, it'll be 1 year. So
cool.
Yeah, kind of exciting. My first time having my own business. And what we do is pretty specialized. So we offer services to help software publishers, and even more specifically, those who publish add-on software for some of the popular accounting and ERP software programs. So we help them grow their revenue by growing and strengthening their referral relationships with the resellers of the ERP solutions that their products integrate with.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, for example, a lot of my customers have products that integrate with Sage. And so we help them partner more closely with the Sage resellers. John, I think you might be familiar with Sage.
A little bit. They're so fun, man.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, so John's been doing the keynotes for the Sage Sessions events. And one of the Sage partners that attended came back and I asked him, how was it? And he didn't know I knew you or anything. And he said, oh, that keynote, though, it was so good because it just so happened that his son was working on his resume for finding an internship. And the guy said, I came home and I told my son, scrap everything. We're changing all of it after hearing your keynote.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Look at that. Like, yeah, people are listening. That's very cool. And so what made you get into, you know, working on the software side of things?
Well, I've been in the accounting software world for 20 years now or so. So I worked for a publisher in the beginning, a major publisher actually that was bought by Sage. So I actually was a Sage employee for a while. And then I worked for a couple of different of the add-on solutions. So I was doing what I'm doing now as an employee,
right,
for different companies. And I had a couple industry colleagues approach me and say, gosh, you know, we wish we could have someone like you at our company, but we're just not really sure that the role is right or that we have the budget for a full-time resource to dedicate to that.
Right.
And so I just felt like there was enough interest and I talked to enough people that there really is a demand for this because it's not a role that everyone has. A lot of the software publishers will have what I call a partner sales rep model, where their sales reps are expected to have a quota.
Right.
And to also show love and nurture their referral partners. And it just is a flawed model, in my opinion.
Right.
Because one thing slips through the cracks. And so they don't separate those roles in most of the time. My customers all realize and want to be partner friendly. And so, you know, they've got me there just to really focus on making sure that they're doing all the right things to have strong long-term relationships with their partners.
Nice. No, that's awesome. That's very cool. And yeah, and it dwells on your history and all of your work experience from the last 20 years. And yeah, you're putting in, and I mean, the 1 year mark is huge. I mean, to go out on your own and to make it work. So kudos for that.
Oh, thanks. Gosh, I've had a lot of help and advice and support, and I've, you know, learned some things the hard way, but I just couldn't be more excited about it.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. And so when you're not running DAB Partners, what hobby or passion or things do you love to do outside of work?
You know, it's funny you asked me that because I want to, is it a good time to tell the backstory of how we talked?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
So when we were at ITA, which is italliance.com, just those of you that don't know, it's a great organization. You should check it out. John was the keynote speaker there too. And, you know, he had us all kind of go amongst ourselves at the table and kind of talk about what was our and. And other people at the table said, oh, I'm very involved in this charitable organization, or, you know, I run iron triathlons and all this stuff. And I just sat there and I said, I don't know, I'm a mom.
Right. Right. Which is full time. I mean, you know, you can't really turn that off. That's for sure. You know,
and I would never want to, but you know, I also am a mom who is a business owner who works full time, who travels for work. And so sometimes it feels like it's really hard. I don't have, you know, hours and hours a week to train for a marathon. I don't have, you know, time and resources to go climb Mount Everest. So, you know, I've had to find things, to be able to participate with my family and also achieve my goals as far as things like, you know, exercise and that type of thing. So, you know, when I'm traveling, you know, when I'm traveling, I come home and I want to be with my family when I'm home. I get all cats in the cradle. I'm like, I want to be, you know, involved with my family, spending my time. That's with them. So anyhow, when I'll get to the point, but how I got there is also a piece of it. So I was telling my friend this a few years ago, a friend of mine who's also a business owner, Pamela McDaniel, and she's a business owner. She owns a software business and has a child as well. Her kid's a little older than mine. And I was telling her, gosh, when my son was young, I used to be able to run. I took him for jogs in the stroller, and I did a lot of running. It was great. I got into running actually when he was a baby.
Yeah.
But then when he got to be two or three, he didn't want to be in the stroller anymore. So I was like, I can't get any exercise anymore because he could walk now and he wants to walk. Right. So she said, oh, you got to come out. I do karate with my daughter. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, I do it. You do it with her? She said, yeah, I'm in the class with her. I said, okay, so I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So I went out there, brought my son out. He was about four at the time. Stood in the back of the room with her and a couple other parents. And while all the kids were doing their karate, it's at all ages, all belts classes. Okay. And then all the parents are in the chairs watching, which made me just a little self-conscious up there in the beginning. Right. But it really stuck. My son loved it. He really enjoyed it. It was helping him become more agile and getting him more athletic. And I was getting exercise and we're both learning how to punch and kick. And so, yeah, we've been doing that for a couple of years now. We take a break every now and again. You know, my son, I don't want to push him too hard. And sometimes he'll say, I don't want to do it for a while. So we'll take a couple of months off here and there. And then he always wants to go back. He'll try other things for a while.
Right.
But yeah, we've been doing it for about 3 years and it's been great. And
that's so cool.
Something we spend time together. And I also am able to get some exercise.
Yeah. That's so cool. That's a thing and that you're out there doing it, you know, like you said, I mean, a lot of the parents are there sitting in the chairs watching. And you and your friend are out there with the kids, you know, let's do this, you know, because you know, if your son starts punching and knowing all the moves, it's like, I got to know how to defend myself, you know? Like,
oh yeah. That comes into play a lot for sure. Yeah.
It's like, you're grounded. And then it's like, no, I'm not mom. And it's like, yes, you are. Yeah. Like,
yeah. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but he does love to wrestle. So that's his favorite thing to do.
So do you feel like doing the karate has helped you be a better business person?
Oh gosh. I think so. I think there's a couple of different ways that maybe it's helped me in my professional life. You know, what just accountability, because I do it with my friend, which I always recommend if you want to do any type of exercise program.
Right.
There have been times when one of us didn't show up and the other one's the only parent in the in the room doing the exercise. Right. So, you know, it's very much the accountability, but, you know, translate that into a work environment is, you know, partnering with your coworkers and your customers and really having accountability and having people that you can rely on who are also relying on you to keep you accountable.
Right.
So, you know, in that sense, I think that translates into professional life. But another thing is when I first had been doing it for a little while and they finally said, okay, we think, you know, you've got some of the basic skills down. You're ready to do sparring night. And I was like, oh, sparring. I'm not really sure about that.
Right.
I mean, I can see, let my kid do it. But what they do is when you're a beginner, they have you spar with the instructors who are black belts.
Okay.
So I'd come out there and just kind of dance around and, you know, kind of a little timid.
Right.
And they're like, hit me. You're not going to hurt me. Go. Just try. Hit me.
Right.
And okay. So it took me a while. I mean, we're wearing helmets and shin pads and all that kind of protective gear and everything.
Right.
But they're tapping themselves on the head saying, come on, hit me in the head.
You're like, crazy. Oh. Like what? That's funny.
It took me a couple of times to finally be comfortable just going at it with all I could. They're like, you're not going to hurt me. I'm not going to hurt a black belt. Especially as a very brand new beginner. They know how to defend themselves. And what that translates into in business is just literally not pulling any punches.
Right. Yeah.
Especially as a consultant, my customers hire me, they want to know. And unfortunately, sometimes what I have to tell them is not good. Hey, you guys are kind of doing this wrong. You need to improve in this area. You've gotten some bad feedback. But I'm going to tell them and they're going to, you know, appreciate it because they're business owners, they're leadership, they're black belts of business. So
yeah, absolutely. No. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're only going to make them better. Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. Yeah. I can't even imagine sparring night. It's like, oh man, not the moneymaker. Like you can't touch this, you know, like just all body blows. All right, everybody. I'm out there in like a big inflatable sumo suit. Right?
It's exhilarating. I'll tell you that.
And plus, I mean, everybody's watching you. So you're on stage, you're performing. Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, it's like, oh, I'm on, you know, it's go time. That's really cool. And so is this something that you talk about with your clients?
Probably not as much as I will moving forward historically. So after, you know, I really learned a lot from your presentation at ITA about really kind of getting personal with your clients and letting them get to know something about you that differentiates you and is memorable. So I haven't really done that too much in the past, but I definitely am trying to think about ways to do that moving forward after learning more about the whole Green Apple concept. I'm a new convert to the Green Apple concept. So
I appreciate it. That means so much. Yeah, I mean, I remember vividly talking to you because it's like, what woman comes up and says, I do karate with my son? It's like, what? Like, that is awesome. Like, you know, I had 100 people come up and tell me that they do IT for something or another. And it's like, yeah, okay. I don't know you from anybody else that's come up and told me the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it stands out and it's the way our brains work. So that's fantastic. I mean, yeah, you're not shouting it from the rooftops or shoving it in everybody's face, but that's fantastic. And so is there something else that you've talked about with clients or have you just been all business all the time?
Oh yeah. No, you know, actually, a lot of my clients are actually my friends outside of work, if you will, because a lot of us, the nature of what I do, we travel to events together and things like that. And so I absolutely definitely build personal relationships with most of my clients, actually. So we work very closely together.
That's awesome.
It's not just me coming in, telling them what to do and leaving. I help them. I get my hands dirty. I get in there. Really, we're working side by side a lot.
Right.
You know, like we definitely talk about, you know, what'd you do this weekend or what trips are you going on, that kind of thing, but just not really...
Right.
You know, like another example that I kind of thought of when I was listening to you at ITA was I used to have a coworker and he took his wife and 4 children and did a circumnavigation. He sailed around the world for, I think it was 3 years.
Wow.
This guy, we used to work for the same company. We were both selling software and I'd come in to customers that had worked with him in the past. He'd go in when he'd do a demo and he'd have his sailboat up on the screen and people go, oh, is that your boat? And he'd tell them how he sailed around the world.
Right.
Well, I mean, for years, people would say, oh yeah, that guy that sailed around the world, John.
Right. See?
You know, they knew him as that guy that sailed around the world.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's one thing with your customers to kind of just chit chat about what you did on the weekends. But it really, if you've got something, your that you're really subtly talking to people about, that's really cool.
Yeah. And if you just throw up like that, I love that example of it's a screen saver on a computer, you have a picture in your office or something like that. And then they ask, and it's like, well, you asked. So, you know, grab a chair. I got a story for you. Like, so, you know, I mean, that's how it happened for me. I mean, you know, people would just be like, oh, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I drove to this city and did some comedy shows. Wait, you did what? You know, and so then, you know, and so then, you know, that's the thing. And it doesn't have to be so weird. It doesn't have to be such a rare thing. It could be anything at all, but whatever it is that lights you up. You know, and whatever makes you super excited is where the magic is, you know, because people can sense that and they want to hear more of that because you're alive, you know, which is really cool. And so when you worked for like that big organization, how much do you feel it's on a firm or a company to create that culture where, you know, hey, everybody, let's get into what your and is and your hobbies and passions? Or how much is it on the individual to just kind of step up and just do it in their own little circle?
It really seems like it does seem to just happen organically. I don't feel like the companies that I've worked for have ever really done that. I mean, they might have team building exercises and that type of thing. So I think that is maybe one way that they do it, but I've not really seen a lot of people trying to get people out there to say what's unique about you.
Right. I mean, you can walk into some companies, it's like, whew, like, I mean, does anyone even like working here? You know? I mean, it's just, you could just feel it, you know? And then there's other places where it's like, does any work actually happen? I'm sure that there's a happy medium, of course. But yeah, but I'm always curious just to see, you know, how much is it the tone at the top, or how much is it just, you know, people just creating it amongst themselves?
The last company I worked for did something pretty cool. They had a Meet the Team page on their website. And just every week or so, they would publish out a blog article about a new person to meet on the team.
Oh, cool.
And then they had all the posts of the team on their website. So anybody, customers or partners or other team members, could go out and read more. And so we did learn a lot. And so in that sense, I think they did that.
Yeah.
Because they had kind of a questionnaire, but it was sort of free form too. You could talk about whatever you wanted. So we did learn a lot about each other's hobbies that we may never have known. And I've always worked remote.
Okay.
For the past 7 years, I've been working out of my home office.
Okay.
And so I've always had to do things
yeah.
to really go out of my way to build personal relationships with my coworkers, because I don't have that water cooler talk, and we're not going yeah. out to lunch or out for drinks after work or anything. So I do a lot of video conferencing with my coworkers just to have them see my face and, you know,
right.
really I'm friends with them on Facebook because, you know, it humanizes you. You're not just an email and a voice on the other end of the phone. I'm a person.
Right.
And I think that's something I made a conscious decision about. I'm Facebook friends with a lot of partners and with customers and coworkers, just to, you know, I feel like it's a way that you're not always going to have a lot of time when you're busy and you're working to chit chat. But I know what you did last week.
Right. Yeah. I saw the pictures. Right. So. That's fantastic. No, that's such a huge thing. I mean, especially, yeah, when you are remote or you're dealing with people that you're not face to face with, it does take an extra step, an extra amount of effort there. So kudos to you for you know, seeing that and taking advantage of, yeah, the different kinds of technology that are there that can bring you closer. And I guess, so do you have any words of encouragement to people that maybe think that sharing any passions or interests at all outside of work is a waste of time, or, you know, there isn't a charge code for getting to know each other?
I think it's a good long-term benefit to get to know your coworkers, and it builds trust and confidence. And I tend to be, early on in my career, I had a boss that was really a driver, and I'd watch people come into his office and try to sell him things or whatever. And he's just like, yeah, get to the point, get to the point. So I kind of had this fear a lot of times of being casual at the beginning. I always just kind of jump right in. And once I made a shift and realized, you know, hey, let's talk about the weather, let's talk about the hockey game last night, whatever it is, just
right.
really help just build relationships so much more quickly if you do just a little bit at least of some personal conversation before you just jump right into business.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, and it takes 3 minutes tops, maybe.
Yeah.
You right. know? And yet it just puts people at ease and makes them feel welcome and just shows that you're genuinely interested in them as a person. And it goes so far. It really does. So kudos to you. You're doing it. And now, I mean, now that you have that karate in your back pocket, I mean, yeah, people are going to be like, wait, what? You did karate all this time? Like, how did you not tell me? Well, I was waiting till I was a black belt, and now I'm...
Well, you never made me mad, so I didn't have to
right?
show you.
But before I get on a plane and fly down there and hang out and do some karate with you, which I've actually never done, so that might be hilarious. I do have my 17 rapid-fire questions that I like to run you through, so since we're going to be hanging out for a little bit, might be get to know each other. So here we go. Let me fire this thing up, and yeah. All right. First one. Are you more Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Okay. All right. And when it comes to computers, more of a PC or a Mac?
PC for the past 30 years.
Yeah. All right. And then on your mouse, are you a left click or a right click?
Left.
Left. There you go. Making decisions. How about, do you have a favorite adult beverage?
Red wine.
Red wine. Okay. There we go. How about a favorite color?
Green.
Nice. How about a least favorite color?
Brown.
Brown? No, that counts. Absolutely. How about toilet paper roll, over or under?
Over.
Over, yeah. I don't, that's what the patent is. How about pens or pencils?
Pens, unless I'm helping my kid with his homework.
Right. How about Sudoku or a crossword puzzle?
Crossword or just old-fashioned jigsaw. I do about one a week.
Oh, a jigsaw puzzle. There you go. Nice. All right. How about, do you have a favorite comedian?
John Garrett.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. That works. How about an early bird or a night owl?
Night owl.
Night owl. There you go. How about, do you prefer diamonds or pearls?
Diamonds.
Nice. How about, do you have a favorite number?
Seven.
Seven? That's, you know, that's a very popular answer. Why seven?
That's just always felt like a lucky number.
Yeah, no, it's a great number. How about, do you prefer more hot or more cold?
Hot.
Hot, yeah, that's what I figured. How about, do you have a favorite movie of all time?
One of my favorites is The Usual Suspects.
Oh, nice. That's a great answer. Two more. We got a more balance sheet or income statement?
Income statement. Knowing just enough about accounting to be dangerous, it was easier for me to grasp an income statement than a balance sheet.
Right, totally. Absolutely. Just throw it all in goodwill in the balance sheet. That's all I did. It doesn't balance. Oh, no, it does. And the last one, the favorite thing you own or the favorite thing you have?
Well, the favorite thing I own is probably my own business.
Nice. There you go. That's a good answer. And I'm glad you like it since you're stuck with it. It's your thing. No, but this was really fantastic, Darcy. Thanks so much for being with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, that was crazy fun. I loved how Darcy said it's a good long-term benefit to get to know your coworkers. And it's so easy to get lost in the details of our day-to-day routines and forget about the long-term benefits to being genuinely interested in those around us. And just because it doesn't have a charge code doesn't mean it's not important. Because as you heard from Darcy and many of the other past guests on the show, this totally matters. And if you'd like to see some pictures of Darcy doing karate or the link to her enterprise software podcast and maybe connect with her on social media, please go to greenapplepodcast.com. And while you're on the page, please click that big green button, do the anonymous survey about firm culture. Thanks again for subscribing on iTunes or whatever app you use and for sharing this with your friends so they get the message that we're all trying to spread, which is to go out and be a green apple.